Triple M Rocks Footy.
Oh yes, coming to you tonight from Simmons Stadium in Geelong. The lights are on. Magnificent night here. It is a top of the table stuff. The Crows taking on the home side, the Cats. Big Friday huddle coming your way. The coach of the Crows, Don Pike, will join us. Joel Selwood's partner, Britt Davis, will join us in the box. And the Irish sensation, Mark O'Connor, who has taken the AFL world by storm, will drop in as well. Mark Howe with you. Luke Darcy, Damian Barrett's in the house. Chris Judd joining us again. Nathan Brown. Hello, Nath.
Howie, you know what I love? I love an entrance. I love an entrance on Friday night footy. And here, down here at the Cattery, we all sit around. There's a little lounge room out there, and the lift is around the corner, and you wait to see who walks around. All the big names, the who's who, walk around the corner.
Jeez, he's up on his toes, Nate Brown tonight. Look at him.
There was one man who walked around the corner with his strut and his shoulders back just that little bit more than most people, and that was our own man, Chris Judd. I looked at him, I thought, there's something different out at the Judd Band tonight. He's got a new jacket, and I got closer and he looked very, very happy about the jacket he's got on. I said, "You got a new jacket, Judd?" He goes, "Actually, yes, I have." I get a bit closer, and it's not just your normal run-of-the-mill jacket. Mm-mm. It's a Burberry jacket. Mm. And if you know what a Burberry
else,
jacket
what else
is,
would it
it's,
be?
It's 2000 and north, I would have thought.
Can I have a guess? And this is what I reckon's happened this morning, and I might get Narrowly Meadows and discuss it. I reckon what's happened is Juddy's got up, Bex put the clothes out, and the new Burberry jacket is there. And this is none of our man's doing at all. I think he's dressed by his much, much better half. Yep. Beg, am I on the right path or not?
What you gentlemen forget is that I'm a long-serving director of one of Australia's fastest-growing apparel brands, Dars. And as such, I'm on trend.
Bloke.
And you know what? I am up on my toes, Brownie, and so I should be, because a very nice jacket.
The place that you got it from is what stunned me, Juddy.
Chadston, the fashion capital, Howie.
I can't see you there.
Well, I like to keep people guessing, Howie. And good to be here down Geelong. I hope no one steals my jacket because
mate, that's worth more than a house down here.
Mate, he has bobbed up in Sexyland, Moorabbin and Chadston, so he covers a bit of ground.
And now, I'm not over at a Savlaki joint across the road too, aren't you, Juddy?
About half pre-game Savlaki, just to keep the strength up. You know, I suffer a little bit when I
become
hypoglycemic.
You're a good
Howie,
eater.
Now, I'm not one to normally comment on fashion. That is an exception from Juddy's jacket, but how he's gone with an interesting setup tonight.
Looks like a communist.
Not many go the all brown, no, Juddy. It's a camel brown pant and a dark
setup.
Brown. That's about as
real math teacher sort of rubbish. Like a university professor with a long beard.
As soon as I saw Juddy's jacket, I thought I'm going to get away with this because I left my run a bit late offshore today, Dar, so I'd been having a surf, and then I thought, gee, I'm going to be late to the footy, and I had the pants ready to go.
You're not sporting the surfer look, mate.
I know, but I realised I didn't have a jumper, and the only jumper I had was in the golf bag, hence the fact
So it's not planned, Howie, that you were brown on brown.
No, it's not. It was a T-shirt, otherwise the jumper in the golf
and
bag.
And you teamed it with your blue denim shoes.
Yeah, no, it's not my best.
I thought you'd been crabbing.
No.
You just come straight in with your crabbing clothes on. I thought,
straight off the crabbing clothes.
Something that Peter Russell Clark had
worn. That's why I saw your jacket and I was like, I might escape with this. As we sat down, Damo, we were a little bit early. I was getting the salt out of my hair.
Juddy's getting hot.
And so Juddy sits down with Nath and he looks at his hair and he says, gee, you're going well. Are you using the finasteride? Now, I had no idea what they were talking about. So I had to ask Chris here, Chris, what's finasteride?
Well, it's a substance which Nate can fill us in more about, but it obviously thickens up your hair follicles. No?
is that
the crux of it?
Is normal hair. Okay, it is the crux of it. That is finasteride, and I do get asked a lot. And you brought the fact up that you thought Darce might have been using these for a long time.
Well,
he's
not about
a lot
Darce
thicker than what
Brandy.
He was.
Well, I know you're trying to deflect nicely here, Brandon. I can confirm that because round one, at one stage in the first game we did of the year, the Friday Huddle News Show, Chris Joe grabbed a hold of my hair, actually pulled my hair. There is a fair bit of hair jealousy from you, let's be honest, because you've been a bald man from a very young age, and he doesn't cope well with those that have got a natural good set of hair like myself and Damo's going pretty well.
Which is why he admired Nathan. The topic for finasteride came up, and I had to ask a few questions. And apparently, Darce, this goes back to 2004 with you, this product, Nathan, without giving away any medical issues, which we now actually have. But it goes back to 2004.
Look, there's a lot of bald men out there, Hutch, Howie. And I had a look at my old man back in 2004 and I thought, I am going to go bald at one stage. And so I went to the doctors at the footy club and I said, is there something that I can do? And there's obviously your normal stuff, your Rogaine. And they said, they don't work. They said, there is a drug out there, and if you're a bald man and you're starting to go bald, I would listen up right now. They said there's a drug called finasteride, and it is taken in cancer patients, and when they take that, they've noticed that they've grown extra hair. So Mark Bresciano, the great soccer player, he was rubbed out. So you had to get...
A lot of detail, Brody.
You had to get direction from WADA. So you had to write to WADA and get approval to use this drug.
This is a fairly vain man who's writing to WADA.
What did you say? What was the reason? What was the medical reason?
Well, because I needed confidence to go out there and play football. I felt like I needed my hair to be able to play the football that I needed to be. You'd be surprised how many footballers are on finasteride. Now, I didn't know whether I was ever going to go bald because I was still fully headed at 2004, but I wasn't taking any chances.
Are you still taking it now, Brent?
Yes, because here's the thing, Damo. Here's the thing. They said you need to take it for the rest of your life because if you stop taking it, it falls out with interest.
Brady.
Hey, Meadows.
Probably is, a masking agent. Meadows is with us as she is on Always on a Friday Night, the Friday Huddle. Have you heard any conversation, anything you like? Are you surprised by the extreme vanity of that man that's taken a drug for the last 13 years to hang on to that miserable amount of hair?
I love the fact that he's stood up as though he's on his own little pedestal and he's just trying to convince us all that this is normal behaviour and that it's
you
all
watch the
accepted.
Sales of it.
Juddy, I think you need to change your Juddy's votes today and put Brownie in it for that.
Is it oral?
A bit of a drive by on Bresciano too, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. He's trying to keep it quiet.
Okay, so Brownie,
you actually wrote to WADA, seeking permission to use a banned drug.
That is correct.
That is extraordinary.
Yes. Hey, are we able to drop a few other big names
Let's
in
name
because
names.
I know some of the biggest names.
I'm not
going to
name any names, but I'll nod.
Does it have any side effects?
Well, here's the thing. One of Luke Darcy's great mates, Craig Ellis, when you get in the bedroom, sometimes there is a side effect that it might go a little bit floppy. Which I've never had an issue with, Mark. But Darcy's great mate did, so he got off it straight away.
This is out of control.
He lives in Monaco, so he's never going to hear
this. Oh, no, he won't hear this. No, that won't get back to him at all, Brownie, the fact that it didn't quite fit. Which is one of the great choices in life, isn't it? Either keep your hair or be able to actually fire up.
What are you going with, Darcy?
Exactly.
Well, I got the best of both worlds.
In Juddy's case, can you retrieve what you've... lost?
Juddy's gone, isn't he?
No, you can grow it, but I think he's gone. Yeah. there's no helping Juddy. The Burberry jacket helps a bit. And obviously being married to Beck helps a lot.
Who do you want to be? The bloke that has enough self-confidence that he doesn't care, or the bloke that's so insecure he actually applies to WADA to get it some hair?
I'm pretty comfortable with myself.
I've noticed that.
How do you apply? Is it a lotion?
It's an
you
oral.
Take it orally, so it's like a pill. How much is it?
About a 3-month supply is $110.
Just off the top of his head.
I'm staggered you actually sought permission from the world
governing
body.
You'd be surprised how many players have.
Is there any athletic components?
Absolutely none.
Right.
Said Maria Sharapova. Now, we move straight on to last night, talking about athletic component. There wasn't much of a component from the Hawks in the first half, Damo. They didn't kick a goal in the first half against a Port Adelaide side who were very, very good.
Yeah, Manic 7 in the second half, and that margin of 51 points could have easily been double that had it just gone on normal path. They were... What I found myself doing as the game was unfolding, Howie, was thinking back to the previous match the Hawthorn played where they took down the Swans, and you just wondered, well, how bad must the Swans be for that to have happened? Because they were just inept last night, weren't they? And while they went in there with a 4-6 scoreline, you don't have any great hope now for what remains in 2017.
What suited them last week was the tight confines of the SCG. They're a very slow side, and when it got out and it got open last night, they just couldn't keep up. So the ground played a big part of it, and I just think playing away, I think Port Adelaide is so much better there, and I just don't think they could handle a big space.
I think that'll happen to them at times, Juddy, this year, Hawthorn, where they'll get their absolute guns. Their first 7 or 8 pick players in the side are still some of the best players in the game, and who are very, very capable, albeit at 33, 34, 35 years. If that group have the right amount of energy and then carry the younger group through, they're capable of an upset result or a very competitive result. Mm. If a couple of them aren't quite on their game, they're capable of getting smashed. I think that's just the reality of where they're. I'm not surprised by that result last night.
And I think it speaks as much about how well Port played and where they're at as it does about Hawthorn's phase in their development. I thought Port were outstanding.
Yeah, and they still haven't yet got what we refer to as the scalp yet, Port, have they? But they're doing pretty much everything else right, aren't they? And they're giving themselves a massive chance.
They're the big surprise for me, Damo. I didn't pick that at the start of the year. I didn't see the resurgence of Port Adelaide. And I'm a believer now. They are.
You are.
Yeah. They're in the mix this year for me, for sure. I think they, the whole group.
And they've done differently from 3 years ago. They've toughened up their midfield. They've got bigger bodies in there now, and they're able to withstand. They're still very good on the outside, but it was all one way 3 years ago. And if you got them inside, you could beat them. But now they've got inside and outside covered.
And Ryder is just so crucial, isn't he? His number's never the top of the stats list us. But what he did last night in a couple of those centre clearances was just
I think you know now he should always play ruck. I mean, again, little cameos forward, but he's not a forward. Never really has been. They flirted with that. He needs to play a lot of minutes in the ruck, and he's a very, very good player in that role.
And Charlie, David Kosh, how at the start of the year, look, he copped a fair bit of criticism for the heat that he applied to the club in general, and specifically Ken Hinckley. And I've got no doubt that, that David Kosh knew what he was doing when he did that. And it copped some criticism that you're putting some pressure on your coach, which you as chairman don't need to do. But I really feel, and I felt at the time that he was doing it for a very strong reason, and one that's now, I think, unfolding in a favourable way to
So what difference do you think that makes by David Kosh saying that?
It got people angry. It got people angry.
Affects the way the players play or the way the players train? I don't.
Yeah, well, it got them angry. They didn't like what he was doing. Ken Hinckley didn't like what he was doing. People around the footy club actually told him, suggested he back off. And he did eventually. Listen to him now, Brownie. The narrative is Ken Hinckley will be here for another 2 years. He's gone himself down the other path. But I think the initial, you know, January, February, even sort of late February period, where he was still saying things about it, I think it sharpened them up.
So they played in a little tangible way.
Not now. I think they've got themselves in the system
now. So how long can that last? How do they have to regenerate
I think it's got them rolling. I think it's got them rolling at the early stage of the season in a way that I reckon he knew. It's a high-risk strategy that he played, but I think he knew what he was doing and it had the result that he wanted.
Charlie Dixon was pretty good early too, Damo, after the tough week he'd had. He'd been under all that scrutiny, kicked a couple of early goals and really set him up, didn't he?
Really good. Really good. And had a crack back at a few critics post-match too.
Yeah, what are you referring to
there? Very good one.
He was asked about Caroline Wilson's comments that she made on the Footy Classified program, Dash. You may not have seen them, but she...
No, I didn't. What'd she say?
She had a crack at him over the issue that happened late in that Geelong game when he was called to play on and just general things and pretty much indicated that he didn't care what she thought.
And what was the crack saying that it was dumb play from him, essentially not taking the kick?
Yeah, not being aware of the surrounds.
Well, his response when asked about it was, "I don't really give up." And then, you think he'd say? Yeah,
and drop the magic.
He dropped the magic. Yep.
Big Charlie.
All right, we better move on. We are here at Skilled Stadium. It is the Cats set to take on the Adelaide Crows. Just to one summation out of that little segment, brown on brown, it's a no-go. Is that what you're telling me, Jody?
It's a miss. A big miss.
Would have thought you'd give it another run, Howie.
What about brown on the hair drug?
Finasterin, if you want to know what... Finasteride, if you want to know what it is called. Damo has got all the news up next. The Cats versus the Crows from Simmons Stadium. Damo is shortly to bring us all the news, but an extraordinary first segment where Nathan Brown has admitted he took a product called Finasteride, which kept his hair growing, got a medical exemption for it back in 2003, got an ASADA clearance, and, Nathan, your hair does look good, so it must work.
It does work, Howie, yes, it certainly does. You just need to keep taking it, otherwise it falls out with interest.
I'm just genuinely intrigued about this ASADA angle on this, Brownie. I'm seriously letting look further into this.
Well, Damo did want to, he did say in the ad break, have you still got the letter, Nathan? He wants to go fully forensic on this story.
I don't think we'll find the letter.
No. I would have thought. Extraordinary level of vanity to apply to ASADA to get special permission.
Well, the way we got talking was Chris actually was questioning your hair.
Which is, you be careful. I promise you, there'll be action if you go to
that. Well, you did say you thought this was a product prevalent amongst sports people and AFL footballers, does.
Yeah, we had a discussion in the ad break as to whether or not we should name someone. And there's a little bit of doubt. Some say the greatest player in the history of the game. Now, that is wide open. That's the level we're talking about.
He's on Triple M tomorrow. Matthews.
Who are you talking about?
Barney Matthews didn't want to wait.
But I don't think he's talking about Lee Matthews.
You obviously study people's hair now. BT would have something too, wouldn't he?
Oh, BT's always had a big thick head of hair, though. So I don't think BT would. He's been genetically blessed, unlike our mate Chris here.
Did you ever take anything, Chris? Were you worried about it yourself? Or did you just
know
naturally
a lot of,
I just went El Natural.
Right. Because you did know a lot about the
product. Came across my desk, Cam. Came across my desk, because a lot of things do. I didn't
didn't make the way into Nath Brown's book, did it?
No, it didn't.
Would have been nice to include.
Michelle knew.
Would have been nice to include in the eight steps to happiness.
We've seen how commercial you are in recent times. As Juddy's famously said this year, you can't eat dignity, and he's pretty much lost all dignity. Has there been an approach from an advanced hair? Has there been a...
Look, there hasn't, but I would like to say to the good people at Finisterride, if the deal's right, I'm on board. And I've been very clear on that from the start. So
straighten it up for us, Damo. A lot of news floating around with the AFL.
Yep.
Jesse Hogan, great to see him back at Melbourne training.
Yes.
Wonderful to hear that it's all gone so well for him.
Yeah, so far it has, Howie. And the initial plan, as of last weekend, was to somehow have him ready, potentially, for this next game of the Melbourne Footy Club, which is next week. It's the Monday game, the Queen's birthday game against Collingwood. They've got a bye this week. That won't happen now, as far as I read it. The operation that he had on the testicular cancer some weeks ago, just requiring just a little bit more time, Darcy, than that particular deadline, which they were hopeful of, only hopeful of, and not ever confident of, but they were going to give him every chance when he returned from Perth for family reasons.
What a brilliant result that we're in the discussion for that reason. Anyway, if it's a week or 2 weeks or a month later, that's just great news that's gone so well.
And again, it's still obviously a moving situation, but as far as I've read it in the past 48 hours, that game I don't see now being part of his comeback. Same game potentially could be Alex Fasolo's return to football. He, of course, on Monday went public with his mental health issues, and there was a very ugly chapter emanating off that yesterday with comments made around it. I don't think we need to go down the ugly side of it, but when we talk about the Fasolo situation itself from a footy perspective, again, Collingwood... it's probably more unlikely than likely, but they're not going to be ruling out the possibility that his return game could be that Queen's birthday.
Just to show you how silent the illness is, because he was on the Sunday Footy Show for the whole panel 3 weeks ago and seemed as happy as Larry Locke, laughing, joking, really good fella. He's a nice kid, really good at the media game, and you wouldn't have thought sitting next to him the whole panel I did he'd have that. So it's just something that people suffer in silence until they put their hand up.
Yeah, we went with Wayne Sross, who was a great mate of all of ours, and that's what I would tell you, that was him, wasn't it, through his whole career, not able to talk about it. And I love the fact that they're just it's like an injury, we talk about it, and it's got to be a better place, Howie. That is the case.
When you talk to Swatter about it, though, you scratch the surface and all of a sudden you're 15 layers deep. And it's like, wow, you've got no idea, if you don't suffer from that, how debilitating it can be, Domo. You talk to Wayne about it, and it's extraordinary the effect it can have on your life and the people around you's life. So for someone like Alex to come out and not hide it from the public's view, it makes so many people out there say, oh, this is a problem I have too. I think it's absolutely fantastic and courageous.
And correct. And Schwatter talking about the generics of it, obviously. Taylor Adams on the Footy Show, which is now back on Wednesday, spoke really well as a really close mate of his. And just the situation that he's clearly seen himself and witnessed himself, and didn't give up any of the intricate conversations he'd had with Alex. But you could just tell that footy clubs are often the best place for someone like Alex in this situation, because it was planned upon the release of the information on Monday night that he would continue training, and he did. And that seemed to shock someone yesterday who made a ridiculously embarrassing comment around it. But it was always by way of plan, and the teammates are fully supportive, as they should be and would be, of Alex.
Well done to Swatter, because a lot of players like Alex might not have come out unless Wayne Schwoss has been so strong in what he does.
Alistair Clarkson too, addressed in his press conference, saying at Hawthorn they have long, hard talks to especially their younger players about how they follow social media, what they read on social media, and how it's become an issue for the young blokes when they jump on it after a game and get smacked by nameless, faceless people, Damo.
Yeah, it's an issue of a lot of clubs, and We discussed it last year for another reason, and there was at one stage of last year, there was up to 11 players from the one club receiving some form of ongoing, I say treatment, but not necessarily the extensive treatment, but it's dealing with mental health issues. 11 off one list. And
11 at one club.
At one club.
Going through that.
And again, we're not talking about the extremes of it on every example of the 11, but just monitoring 11 players out of a list of 48 or whatever it was with the rookies thrown in, that it's a lot of people in the one club. And again, not every club's going to have 11, but every club would have one.
I think the demands have got more, Juddy, in recent times. For a young player coming into the system and the profile and the amount of attention and the scrutiny, you see, you know, first-year player doesn't quite get it right. They come under more pressure than perhaps ever before in the game. Is that part of it?
I think there's a lot of things why it's quite prevalent in AFL, and it is in lots of areas in society as well. But you've got players whose identity is really closely measured by what they do, and it's very hard to play well as an AFL footballer all the time. There's so much scrutiny surrounding that as well. And then when you are performing poorly, your identity is tied with that. You can't escape that reality now with social media and the access that people have to you nowadays. So I think all those sorts of things go together, and you've got young people involved as well. It's obviously a really big issue out there.
Stevie May up on the Gold Coast, developing story again, Damo. His name keeps coming up in dispatches.
It does, and the fact that we are now getting to round 11 and he, as a co-captain of the club, has yet to commit, just says everything that we've thought from the outset, that he was going to leave it, and that the answers that he has sought personally and through his own management about where the club's going, and while they're not all directly related to the coaching position, he wants to know, A, who that person's going to be. And as far as I read it, there's not a massive issue in Stephen May's eyes with Rodney Eade, but he needs to see other changes around the footy club in order for him to commit. And the line that he has said to people around him is that he just, for once, wants to see action, not just words, around a plan. And again, with this season unfolding the way it is for the Suns to this point, he's just seeing what he's seen in the past, which hasn't been enough for him to commit. So, massive 11 weeks. They've got a game they could win this weekend. I've had a look at their back half of the draw. It's not the hardest in the world, so they may get on a run, but they're leaving it late from the perspective of trying to re-sign the co-captain.
How old's he, Purple?
I think he's about 25. I'll come back to you on the ad break on that, Juddy, but he's been around for a fair bit, certainly in demand, and while there's no, from what I can gather, official offers in front of him, he knows that they're there, should he put his hand up and say, right, let's get serious with the approaches, and the usual suspects will be at play there.
Are you expecting changes up on the Gold Coast as far as the coaching?
I do. Yeah, I do, Howie. Again, as maybe just a victim of the circumstances, Rodney Eade, as much as anything. But when you're in your third year and you've gone to the halfway point of that third season without significant progress, and they needed to make finals, I thought, for him to be any sort of hope. And he can still make them. So we're still, as we know, half a season to go. But from what we've seen, but to answer your question, I don't expect him to be there in 2018.
In the world of AFL, there is one modern-day player that rises above all else.
I'd be happy to put my name up as the chairman.
Whose opinions and judgments we respect.
I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
The situations are real. The verdicts are final. This is Judge Juddy.
Very, very big week in the world. So we'll get straight into it this week. We'll start off with the best on-ground votes, as we always do, Howie. And one vote this week goes to the Brazilian baby who was filmed walking only moments after birth. And this confirms something I've been saying for a long time, that we do over-mother our infants. You look at your baby giraffes, Brownie, and they're walking straight away. You know, they're a little bit clumsy on the feet, but they're walking straight away. And there's no doubt we're creating overly dependent infants. And it's been reassuring to me to be proven right again. I'm not sure if Dr. Rowan White's been onto this. I know he's done extensive research on what happens when two blokes get injured out in the field, Howie.
Yes.
But it wouldn't be a bad thing for him to put a little bit of energies into this one as well. So that's the one vote. Two votes goes to J.R. Smith, who had this to say during the playoff interviews during the week.
I haven't changed the diaper yet. I got three kids now, so out of the three of them, I probably changed about five diapers. So this is possibly number six or seven coming soon. But for the most part, my wife handles that. She gets up a lot in the middle of the night. I think she gets that from her dad being a night owl. But she.
J.R. Smith, I think we're all a bit tired of Australian sports stars talking about if their wife goes into labour, how they'll miss the match if it happens on game day. It shows they're not focused, Daz. And here's J.R. Smith, an international sports star, who can't have his focus broken. He doesn't have his PlayStation game interrupted by kids. And that's the sort of athlete we need to be targeting in this country. I know Daz was ahead of the game on this. Daz was pretty clear a few weeks ago in the man cave that if he had his time over, he wouldn't have bothered going to the birth, because such is his focus on the things, on the day-to-day business that he's got to execute.
That's when Beck was away.
Might have been slightly misquoted there, Jack. I did spend 12 months living in an altitude tent when one of the kids was born, and best year of my life. slept like an angel.
An altitude tent.
Unbelievable, yeah. I don't want to interrupt the judge. Yeah, sure. Two votes.
But just with the two. And the three votes this week goes to Usain Bolt, who this week confirmed a couple of things. He confirmed that he had 1,000 nuggets at the Beijing Olympics. We're just confirming that they were McDonald's nuggets, and we believe they were, Dust, which is a lot of chicken. And he also confirmed his great love of champagne showers. And I'll read the quote from the interview on the Huffington Post. The first time that I actually got to do a big one was in Melbourne. My team won, and after that, we sprayed champagne. I think it was the most fun as an athlete I've ever had. You have to do it. Spraying people with champagne when they're running around is a really good feeling. Sneak up on them. That's the key thing. Don't let them see you coming. So, I think we learned a few things from Usain. We learned that he loves ass, he loves nuggets, but his main love is sneaking up on people and spraying them in the face with a bit of champagne. So, the three votes this week to Usain Bolt.
I like it. Very good.
The worst on ground this week, we've got one vote goes to Jennifer Ray McClary, who's an ex-policewoman in the US who pretended to be a man by painting on a beard before she went and attempted to rob a Californian bank. There was a couple of things that pointed to the police that she wasn't actually a man.
They were?
The fact that she wasn't carrying a weapon, Howie. She just slipped a note to the teller and was hoping that would do the trick. And she obviously had boobs. So that were the two main giveaways. Other than that, she played it very well. I'm not sure how they pinned her. But in reality, as men, we're doing enough stupid things without inheriting the stupid things that women want to do. All the violent crimes, all the stupidity. So she gets our one vote this week. Two votes goes to Ancha Jamsempa, the Indian mountaineer who achieved this during the week.
38-year-old Anshu Jamsempa of India set the record for the fastest double ascent of Mount Everest, and she's also become the first woman ever to reach the highest point on Earth twice in 5 days.
Now, when it comes to the staff at Judd Corp, Howie, yes. I not only view myself as their boss, but also as their teacher. And one thing I'm always telling them, Duke, is that life's about balance. Not enough water, you die of dehydration. Too much water, you drown, Howie. That's what I tell them. Then I say, get back to work. Balance. Start making me money. And there's no balance here. No balance with Ansha. Plus, to be honest, I feel it's a little bit showy. It's not like she went up there the second time because she left her iPhone up there. That I could excuse. It was just a little bit of a head wobble. A little bit of a look at me. And I'm not sure what it says to people with obesity either, Howie. So it's insensitive. There's head wobble involved. And she's contradicted some of the lessons learned at Judd Corp. So she gets the two votes this week. Well, what message is it saying to the people with obesity? Brownie, you know what it's saying? It's saying,
I don't know. Please
ha,
tell me.
That's what it's saying. It's rubbing their nose in it.
I like it, Jenny. I like it.
Worst on ground?
Three votes this week goes to protesters in New Zealand who threatened Deputy PM, Ms. Paula Bennett, with a dildo with her name on it, which Ms. Paula Bennett described as quite aggressive, Duke. Now, Paula's fellow MP, Chester Burrows, was driving through the protest when they accidentally clipped a couple of people, and he was quoted as saying, he saw one of the protesters waving what could only be described as a giant dildo, and they were screaming at her, I've got a present for you. Now, Mr. Burrows was worried because the dildo, which appeared wooden, could have smashed his car window. So, not everyone's doing this with dildos. We've got to keep that in mind. But it only takes a couple of idiots, Duke. And for years, the dildo's long been a symbol of peace and contentment. And now these idiots in New Zealand...
Or something now, Fev has on a Mad Monday.
They've turned it into a weapon of destruction.
Inappropriate use, Jetty.
To those idiots... Oh, I think there's hygiene issues using a wooden dildo anyway, I would have thought, Duke. But let's not get into that. They get the three votes this week.
What I love about you, Jetty. He tackles the big issues, Jetty.
He tackles
the big issues.
What colour was the dildo?
Our next guest has to coach an AFL game in only an hour's time and listen to a fair bit of that. I'll be interested to see what his response was down on the boundary with Neroli Meadows. Nez.
Yeah, look, let's just move straight on, Don, I think, from what Juddy had to say there. It's better left alone than getting a senior coach to respond. I wanted to ask you about Josh Jenkins. His 100th game, and he responded really well to being left out of the side as well.
Yeah, look, he was really great last week. It was one of those things we just fought for his form and confidence to get back to Sandfell, and the way he played last week is how we expect him to play. So he's in good form and an exciting night for him as well, his 100th game.
What do you do about Dangerwood? Patrick Dangerfield and Joel Selwood, absolutely remarkable down here in Geelong.
Yeah, look, two high-quality midfielders, and, that's a challenge for our mids, and our mids have been really good all year, and they were really good last week. So we've got a few plans in place and a few ideas of things we might be able to try, but, we're going to back our guys in as well.
Boys?
Don, they've had the number of you, the Cats, the last couple of times over in Adelaide last year. They seem to drop a number behind the footy, and you didn't get that ball over the back, which Adelaide have been famous for the last couple of years on that sling play. So have you noticed that? Have you put plans into place to play this ground like that?
Yeah, look, we've had a bit of a look at obviously last year's games in terms of what they did, and there's a fair chance if they got the success they did that they'll probably try that again. So we're aware of that, and there's a few things on those nights that we didn't do. Credit to Geelong, they played well, but a few things we didn't do, which we normally would, which we would think would get us a better chance of getting the right outcome.
Hey, Don, Rory Sloane's just had an incredible year at a couple of weeks where Taggers got hold of him. Do you plan for that with him tonight, that maybe someone will come and try and sit on him tonight?
We would probably expect that. Whether it's Scott Selwood, I know that Guthrie's done jobs in the past as well, so possibly one of those guys, but we plan around that. Obviously, some sides had some success a few weeks back now against Rory, but his last 2 weeks have been really outstanding, and it's another great challenge tonight for not only him, but as I said, our whole midfield.
Don, you've been playing well, but the last time you ventured south, North Melbourne put 10 goals on you in the blink of an eye. Does it Thanks. Hold any fears for you?
Well, thanks for reminding me of that. That was fantastic. Look, that was one of those days where we got off to a really bad start, and to North's credit, they were on and we were off, and that just shows the evenness of the competition. And, on any day, you can get a bit of a toweling if you're not quite in the right mind frame, and the opposition bring it. So, the conditions are completely different tonight. It's a beautiful night, clean deck, and not a breath of wind. So, we've spoken about our starts, and important we get off to a good start again tonight.
Don, the footy world loves watching Eddie Betts play. Do you get carried away with it all in the modern coaching box? Do you ever sit back there and say to the boys, just that was unbelievable, like we do at home watching on the telly?
Yeah, look, there's a few moments where you just sort of shake your head and put a smile on your face and marvel at some of the things he does. He's unique talent, Eddie, and he's also a very selfless guy, so some of the things you see him do, he sort of always has a look, and if there's nothing on, he'll have a go, and he tends to kick them more often than not. So, but you're right, all you can do is sit back and just marvel at some of his feats.
Tonight, Don, I know you go into each game with an open mind, but it is a unique ground to play on. It's narrow, and it's got different wind pockets on it. Did you come out today and do you put any time into the specifics of the ground, or is it just this is our style and we'll go out and play the way we do?
No, we had a session here yesterday afternoon, and the players were able to sort of familiarise themselves with the ground. And you're right, it is a different ground. It's narrow, and the wings is probably about 30 metres from the centre square to the boundary line on the wing. So, we'd be silly to say that we can just play completely our way. We're going to have to adapt. And we've spoken a bit about what that looks like. But we're really confident. Obviously, our system is based around not necessarily playing on any particular surface or against any opposition. So, that's one of the challenges we get. And that's the beauty of this comp, is that each week you get a new test.
Can I ask you about Jake Kelly? We know he's old man very well. And great to see Jake really starting to find his place in your side consistently. It's been such a good defence. But where's he at? It's his 20th game tonight, but he seems to be getting better each week.
Yeah, look, it's a credit to Jake. I mean, when I started at the footy club last year, we had a good conversation with Jake about some of the areas you needed to keep working on, improving on. And through last year, he really did that, and wasn't able to get an opportunity last year. But through sort of circumstances and also through his hard work, he created an opportunity at the start of the year. And I think he missed one game with the eye injury, but other than that, he's played every game. And he's an elite runner. He's a competitive animal, and he's playing a really good and strong role for us.
A lot smarter than his father, Craig Kelly. He's a much better person, Don, and I'd be keeping him as far away from that young man as you possibly could.
No, he's a good young man. He's a good young man, Jake. I'm not going to speak ill of his dad. I caught up with his dad last week in Adelaide. He's a good fella as well.
Don, another one of the really good stories within the biggest story is Andy Otten. Did you, when you went back to, say, February and March and planned for 2017, did you expect him to have the impact that he's had in this great comeback that he's unfolding in 2017?
Yeah, it'd be hard to say I expect him to have the impact he's had. I probably knew at the end of last year, and he was another guy through circumstances. He was playing some really good footy in the Sandfall last year as we came into the finals. And with a pretty settled lineup, we didn't make many changes and he couldn't sort of crack in. But, I knew the quality of the guy, and he understands the game really well. He's got the chip, as I like to say. And he did a lot of work over the off-season, and all he did was just present in a condition that allowed him to build some confidence through his training, and he was able to get continuity. And then, there's no real secrets in footy. That led to opportunity, and he took that opportunity, and he's never looked back. So credit to the work he's put in. But he's got to remember, he was second in a rising star.
Yeah.
So he's got some quality. He just had a really bad run, and it's great to see him getting some reward at last.
Don, we really appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Adelaide Crows tonight.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
Nice to speak to Don Pike, the coach of the Adelaide Crows. The partner of Joel Selwood, Britt Davis, is not too far away. Irish sensation Mark O'Connell will be joining us in the box. Damo, Brownie's mum's book, My Son the Footballer. Have we got any of that this week?
We do. There's an interesting reference on tonight's offering, Howie.
Well, we might do that next.
This is the Triple M Friday Night Huddle.
Mark Howard with you, Luke Darcy, Damien Barrett, Nathan Brown and Judge Juddy. We're at Simmons Stadium. Friday Huddle, the Cats taking on the Crows. Brownie's mum's book, My Son the Footballer, not too far away. But before delve into that little novel, a really nasty story this week at Melbourne Airport, and I'm sure everyone's aware of what happened where the police were involved, and a former Melbourne footballer, Darcy, you spoke to on the Hot Breakfast, Andrew Leoncelli.
As good an eyewitness, Andrew Leoncelli, as I've ever seen, gentlemen. He was all across the detail. He was right there. He was in 4A. Up the front of the plane, and
he wrestled the man.
He was a hero. I don't think he actually tackled the man. I think the man got away from him before Chell could do it. But he's a really good bloke, Andrew Leoncelli. Played 150 games, was vice captain of Melbourne, and became a real leader on that plane.
Just gave the one interview to about it, Dust?
No, blanket coverage from Chell. We thought we had an exclusive in the morning.
I thought you did too.
He popped up on every news media, and as he should, because he did a very fine job, Juddy. I know you're someone who follows the news closely.
Well, I just didn't leave a lot of airtime for Troy and Fabio, the two brothers who actually tackled the assailant. I just thought, I mean, it was very clear Chell had nice seats in 4A, and he had a $1,000 suit, which he got crinkled at one stage. So, so would have liked to have heard from the two brothers.
That's ambulance all. Chaser type stuff, wasn't it?
You think the two brothers might have been in line for more of the honours, you think?
Oh, I just would have liked to hear their point of view. But all in all, a very good effort from what everyone did on that flight.
Absolutely. Yeah. Would have been very, very scary, that.
Now, Damo, My Son the Footballer, for those that aren't aware, you need to explain what this book's about and, more importantly, who wrote it.
Well, it's written by Michelle Brown, mother, the beautiful mother of our man Nathan Brown. It's a book called Brownie, My Son, the Footballer. It was written back in 2010.
It's good read.
Before we do it, Howie, we don't need to introduce it, so we'll just move straight in. I'm up to page 97 of this book, and while it is written by Michelle Brown, it's the first page that is a page that doesn't involve Nathan talking about himself. And
so, Damon, can we just, for those that maybe haven't caught up with this, Brownie told us that he didn't know of the book, he didn't know it was being published, and it was too late before the wheels were in motion before it happened. And
that's Michelle Brown, that's what he told us,
97 of the pages are his own words.
Well, at least 30 of the pages.
Don't let the truth get in the way of you, Damon. You know that's not the way we roll.
You're averaging about 9 pages a week, Purple. Would you describe it as a page turner?
No, I read it because I know I have to come on a Friday night huddle to discuss it. But no, I am interested in it. Good. There are some good anecdotes, and we'll pick up one here today. What has happened with Michelle's Brown research for this book is she has gone to various people who are significant and important in Nathan's life, and one of those people clearly was Terry Wallace, who got him across to the Richmond Footy Club and initially coached him, obviously, at the Bulldogs. And Plough takes up the story here. When Brownie first arrived, I said to myself, my God, what have I done? We went for an endurance run and this kid couldn't make it halfway around the course, and we actually thought he'd need some oxygen when he finished. Over the next 12 months, he tested me more than any player I have ever coached. A lack of work ethic plus an on-field attitude that I had never experienced before made this my greatest challenge. So he goes on, Plough, and he does give you a couple of nice compliments, Brownie, but we don't worry about the compliments when we get to this stage of the Friday Huddle. We move on to Plough's take on Nathan Brown. It's the now famous Brisbane swim, Howie. Dust was involved in a game where the Bulldogs had lost a final to the great Brisbane Lions. And so the boys are having a few beers after this final, and Plough had allowed these beers to be had. And there's a couple of dares going on, Juddy, and money's starting to get thrown in. And this is Plough taking up the story. The challenge was which two players would swim across the Brisbane River and back for the bounty. With the sun coming up, two brave warriors put their hands up. Luke Darcy was leading the charge and Brownie challenged him all the way. By the time they finally arrived down at the jetty to begin this swim, Darcy decided that common sense would prevail. Brownie, though, never ever to step down, was now going solo. But as a coach who was half-charged, I didn't want my star heading across the river by himself. It was a bloody difficult swim. Tides were involved, and over that weird 90-minute journey, I learned more about Brownie and him about me that would guarantee a lifetime friendship. We didn't realise at the time, but there were sharks in that water. And the Brisbane Cat, which is the ferry, had to stop and blow its horns at us on two occasions. Brownie, interesting night, that one.
I tell you what the issue with and why we didn't win a premiership, and I bring it back to that day. when Das went down to the water with me as my leader, as someone I looked up to, as someone I live with, and we got down there, and it was just me and him, and he chose not to swim across that river. It summed up where the Bulldogs were at in the late 90s, pretty much. That's why we didn't win a premiership.
You can't unsee that as a younger player, can
no,
you? When you
no.
see your great
leader. I was
leader.
Deflated. Yeah. Blokes under me were deflated, yeah. and it was all because of Das.
And the coach jumped in the shark-infested waters. We were reasonably refreshed at the time, Howie, it's fair to say. And the thing that was the most amusing part about it was that they had enough to work out the two that they got all the way over. And it is a serious swim, the Brisbane River.
Like, Das, it's a scary
people who
water.
Live in Queensland live don't even the put their toe in that water.
No.
But in their underpants, they got the other side of the bank. This is, you know, as people were getting up for peak hour to realise they had to swim back. They had to get all the way back across.
How far are we talking, Nate? It was a good 250 across.
But it's swirly
oh,
out.
Mate,
it's,
no, it's it would have taken brown, you. It must have taken you an hour and a half.
Long time.
An hour and a half
pretty
there
silly.
And back.
Good times.
How would that go? Would that be a reasonable story in today's if a coach and star player stripped down to their underpants?
There was a couple of moments where I thought we weren't going to make it too.
Really?
It was hard work.
It was a story at the time, not the day after, but I do recall it being, you know, beaten up a little bit by we in the media. But legitimately, I mean, it's a staggering event. When you think about it, a coach drunk, player drunk, in a stretch of water.
I was hammered too. And old Moneybags over here had bet me $100 I couldn't do it. So when we got back to the other side, he goes, there's your money, and threw it. And it was windy. And the money's gone into the water. And
hey, Jaddy, I paid up. There was, I think it was about $1,000 on the line back in whatever that was, 97.
Can you handle the pressure?
You can't handle the pressure!
We don't think the boys can.
It's got me under pressure.
Time for the pressure test.
Oh, yes, give us a call now, 133353. Give yourself a crack to win tickets for you and three mates to the Medallion Club at Etihad Stadium next weekend to be in the running for two tickets to this year's Toyota AFL Grand Final. Das, tonight they are taking on Judge Juddy himself, which I'm really looking forward to. Judge out of the room, but he's very technically savvy, so hopefully he's not on the app out there.
And one of our team had to make sure that he's not listening in, Juddy. And
Brownie's a cheater from way back then. He noticed, so keep your eyes on it, Juddy. I think he'd be on the app. Would know what's going on.
Joel Selwood's very beautiful partner, Britt, is ready to join us shortly. So we're going to get through the pressure test as fast as we can. And we're going to start with Andrew from Richmond, who's on the line. Hello, Andrew.
G'day, Darth. How you going?
Good to speak to you, mate. So what's happening tonight?
Not much. Sitting, kicking back, listening to you blokes, and what's the footy on the box?
Oh, good man. You confident of knocking off Juddy?
No, not really. I think
you'll get him.
I reckon you'll get him. All right, Andy, here we go. Geelong has had 7 Brownlow medalists. Name 4 of them.
Cargy Greaves.
Yes.
Paul Couch.
Yes.
James Bartell.
Oh, that's 3. You're out of time. Good start, though, getting Kaji Greaves.
Jeez,
I thought
does.
It's called the pressure test, Andrew. You were nice and relaxed and low pulse rate, but just didn't quite get there. I'm sorry. I'm going to go to Riley, who's on the line from Ranella East. Hello, Riley.
How you going?
I'm going well, Riley. What do you do for a living, mate?
Second assistant at my local McDonald's at the moment.
Second assistant. Good work,
Fantastic.
My friend. I hope you get to the number one role very shortly. And you confident?
Well, the McChicken Big Mac.
Not so much, but we'll see how it goes.
Let's go before he gets on Google, Howie.
McDonald's Triple M Rockin' Footy. Here we go. Geelong has had 7 Brownlow medalists. Riley, name 4 of them, brother. Go.
Gary Ablett.
Yep.
Paul Kelly.
Yes. Paul Kelly. And his mate was in the background.
I'm sorry, Riley.
Paul Kelly.
It's not a double act, Riley. This is a dumb things.
He had his assistant. His assistant said Paul Couch, and he came up with Paul Kelly. So bad luck, Riley. You're out, my friend. Let's go
on,
to Warrigal, and Michael is on the line. Hello, mate.
Hey, Darth. How are you, brother?
What's happening tonight with you?
I'm sitting in my ute listening to you boys having a Clydesdale, hiding from the wife and kids.
Oh, magnificent. That warms my heart.
A true man.
All right. Michael from Warrigal.
Here
we go.
Mick. Mick, Geelong has had 7 Brownlow medalists. Name 4 of them, great man.
Greaves, Couch. Yep. Ablett,
Bartel. Oh, bang!
Woo!
Nicely done. Oh, a celebration too.
Yeah, very happy.
Very, very nicely done. All right, Mike, you just sit back there in the ute, relax, because you're coming in to take on Chris Judd now. Probably the greatest intellectual in the Triple M Friday night team.
Looks
great. You know what he's got? He's got a bit of a smile on his face.
Got the
and
Burberry
he's got
jacket.
An extra bit of swagger. And I get the feeling that he, look at him. You got a guilty look at
Cheshire
your face.
Look on your face.
That's the jacket.
Like you've done something wrong. I'd like to know what's more, the jacket or the shoes.
You're taking on Michael from Warragul, who's out in the ute listening to Triple M Footy at the moment.
Good to have you on the show, Michael.
This would be disgraceful if you can't get this,
Okay, Jody. Okay, Juddy. Geelong has had 7 Brownlow medalists. Name 4 of them.
Paul Couch, Gary Ablett, Jimmy Bartel, and Charlie Brownlow.
No. And he's given it the early
fist pump
and a motorcycle style rev
in the Burberry jacket.
Like he was on the Harley. Charlie Brownlow, no, sorry.
Did he play for Geelong?
No, well, he did not. He did not. Charles Brownlow. Cardi Greaves, you might have been thinking of. The original Brownlow.
That's what I said, didn't I?
Made yourself look a little bit silly, Chris.
Paddy Dangerfield.
The only stand on
may have gone a little bit early with the celebration.
The motorbike celebration, Juddy.
Felt appropriate. It felt appropriate.
In the jacket.
Let yourself down badly.
Mike from Warragul, you and 3 mates off to the Medallion Club at Etihad Stadium in the running for 2 tickets this year's Toyota AFL Grand Final. Well done.
Beautiful. Juddy, I bagged for Richmond, mate. That's payback for 2013.
You're welcome.
Well done, Michael. Good effort, Juddy.
Thank you, Mick.
Now, we just mentioned earlier on, wonderful. We like to spend some time with the partners of the AFL footballers, and this lady has wandered in, the partner of Joel Selwood. Britt Davis joins us. Britt, wonderful to see you. How are you going?
Yeah, good. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Do you enjoy a night at the footy? Do you get nervous when you come to watch your fella play?
I'm always nervous. I'm always nervous for when we get home.
Really? Why is that, Britt?
Just the tension in the house. If they win, it's good. If they lose,
what's he like in the build-up, Britt? Has he got superstitions? Has he got game day? Do you just stay away from him, or do you need to be around? How does it work on game day?
No superstitions. I can be there. Doesn't matter. He's always stretching 3-4 hours before the game. But he does have this weird thing. He likes this weird pasta. It's mango, chicken and avocado.
Oh, geez.
I'm
no wonder
too
he doesn't
sure
get tagged.
No,
Rocky, the mango, chicken and avocado.
Now, Britt, you've been described as a bit of a fashion icon yourself. What are the first thoughts that come into your mind when you look at Mark Howard and his brown on brown tonight?
It's not good.
I like it.
Thank you, Britt.
I like it.
Thank you, Britt.
The shoes are nice, the aqua shoes.
There you go.
Britt, we're not buying that. Let's be honest.
I'm not buying what you're selling.
Britt and I go back at the Grand Prix. Britt's been the ambassador there before. So the last time I saw you at the Grand Prix, you were meeting Arnold Schwarzenegger. What was the big man like?
I was meeting Arnie Schwarzenegger. He was very quiet, said nothing, maybe gave me a handshake. That was about it. But
and how do you find those ambassadorial roles when you're on the front page of the paper with motor racing vehicles, etc.? Do you enjoy that side of life?
That was an awesome one to do. We had lots of fun. I got to go in an F1 car, so that was awesome. But no, they're good to do.
And have you got Joel out and about a bit more, Britt? I noticed that we see him as, I think he was endorsing a travel company down here in Geelong, which is quite an extraordinary ad. But he seems to have come out of his shell now that he's met you in recent years.
He has. He's been on a few commercials now. And we did one together and it was quite terrible. But I still get reminded every time someone goes to the movies that it's on at Geelong Cinemas. So.
Britt, it couldn't be worse than the one him and Scott do promoting the local Geelong travel company. Now, surely when you go there and he tries to put his arm around you and that ad comes on, you just say, now, come on, I've got to draw the line somewhere.
No, he always goes to the cinemas with a hoodie on.
Britt, my wife and I sat down and watched The Notebook the other night and she commented that Ryan Gosling was an amazing looking man. I had a look on the TV and I thought the same. Is there a celebrity date that you'd be allowed to go on the Joel to tick off?
Probably Ryan Gosling, as we said. No, Ryan's a bit of a babe, but I don't know.
Yeah, we think so.
Yeah.
And what about the other girls, Britt? Who were the other girls you knock around with to the players' partners?
Demi Miles, she's expecting a bub, so I'll be expecting to be on bub duties when she's had it. And Emma Hawkins, we're good pals. So.
And were you jealous when Paddy Dangerfield came to the club and obviously started spending so much time with Joel?
I was a bit. There was a bit of a bromance going on. I got shoved to the back a bit, but now it's all good. We know our place.
Is he a footy nut outside of the games he plays himself?
Joel.
Does he need to watch the full 9 games?
Yes, he does. Yep. He does. We've constantly got sport on, so I'm always on the phone or I'm playing Sudoku, which is a bit grandma-ish.
And the competitive nature we see obviously out there every single week, does that at all cross over into what you see?
It sure does. We have a nightly game of Uno. And if
A nightly game?
A nightly game of Uno. And the other week we actually went out for mini golf and He did lose. I beat him, and it was quite an interesting trip home. He doesn't like losing.
We're speaking to Britt Davis, the partner, and so many other things of Joel Selwood. On the serious side, we've had a bit of a laugh with you, Britt, but what's it like living with a professional, and yours is a very professional AFL footballer? Can you describe how much goes into it? And I'm sure you're heavily involved in that because it's a very, very professional business now.
To be honest, I'm not involved with it that much. He leaves his work at home. He's always at home preparing. He's always icing, stretching, doing things he needs to do before a game. But he does keep his footy life at work.
Now, Britt, he's almost perfect as a player, let's be honest. There's nothing that he hasn't done, and it's been a dream career. He's won a ridiculous amount of games and premierships, and so we all admire him and think he's a star. But you live with him, and what's he like? Is there something that you can tell us that is a bit annoying about him?
Oh, he's always leaving his towel on the floor. That drives me insane. It's something small, isn't it? He is quite perfect, I will admit. There's not many faults about him.
And the banged up complexion that he's had, basically from game one back in 2007, and almost on a weekly basis, there's blood drawn. You have to deal with this much at all?
Yeah, that's a bit of a fault. I once said to him, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, I said, can you just protect your head? And he said, Britt, it's footy. I'm not protecting anything.
do you have your heart in your mouth at times when you're watching him play? I mean, even his commentators do when he plays. Do you, obviously, given the connection you've got?
I did last week. He went in for a ball on the 50-metre line and he ran straight head-on with someone and I just, your heart's in your mouth. Yeah,
I'm more worried about the other player normally, Britt, coming the other way. It normally is the way it works for that man.
I love a good romance and a good love story, Britt. Where did you meet Joel? Can you describe the scene and what happened? Who made the initial contact and what happened from there?
It's not really a romance. We actually got set up by a mutual friend, Taylor Hunt. He's now playing at Richmond. I knew him from high school and he just set us up on a date. So
you went on a blind date?
Pretty much, yes.
Where to?
Oh, good question. Oh, it was somewhere on South Bank.
And were you the one having to make the conversation? Because he's not the most verbose chap.
No, I did make most of the conversation. He sits back. He sits back and listens.
And his great mate, he's playing his 200th game tonight, Tommy Hawkins. They lived together when they were first drafted. I spent a little bit of time interviewing them at one stage there, Dars. And while Joel was doing his 20-minute interview, Tommy had about 9 scones. He used to power his way through the food at that stage. But very, very good mates. You'd be very proud of Tommy tonight.
They are very, very good friends. They did spend a lot of time at the Jenners. That was their house they were at before they moved out of the home. And they got up to a lot of trouble, and I've heard a lot of stories.
And how do you go, Britt, living in a town like Geelong that's just footy mad and a huge crowd here tonight and everyone wants a piece of you and Joel? Can you live comfortably or do you spend a bit more time on your own?
No, we do live comfortably. I am a teacher and I'm teaching at a school and the kids just adore asking questions about Joel and my life, so it's awesome.
Do you ever roll him in as a special guest? And
I should. If they're being naughty, I should just say, oh, okay, well, Joel will come in and straighten you out.
Britt, we really appreciate your time. Enjoy the footy tonight. It's always nice to hear a little bit about yourself and the other side of things. Thanks for having a chat with us on the Friday Huddle.
Thanks for having me.
Beautiful night in G-Town. Expecting a very big crowd in the house. Mark Howard with you, Luke Darcy, the judge, Nathan Brown, Damien Barrett. Damien, I know in my part of the world they get very excited now when there's a home game, especially when it's against quality opposition. They're talking a big, big crowd tonight. Are we going to start seeing more finals? I do recall a couple of years ago, the Cats, there was to and fro and they played Fremantle down here. I think they actually lost that final from memory.
They did. It was 2013, the year that Fremantle went on to make the grand final and ultimately lose to Hawthorn. But they will play a final down here if it is against the lower drawing team. And that would almost certainly mean that it's a non-Victorian team. But not every non-Victorian team is going to classify under that low drawing. So I'd imagine a GWS sort of a combination, Gold Coast, if they are in the unlikely event, get in there. Fremantle, I don't know, although there's a greater capacity this time around, so maybe. Adelaide Crows, I would doubt. If they match up against the Crows, I reckon, Jody, they might have to make that one at the MCG.
So if they think they're going to get more than the capacity of 36,000, it gets moved elsewhere, which is, it's not a fair system, Damo. We don't think the AFL draw, etc., is a fair system. But
yep,
if you finish on in a higher position on the ladder than the opposition, surely you get the benefit of a home ground.
Well, that's an ideal world, isn't it? But the AFL system isn't an ideal world. They've got contracts to play matches, including finals, at other venues, including most obviously the MCG. There was even one in place about Etihad Stadium until relatively recently by way of a contract. So that's the way it works. I think it's about as good as it can be. If it is a less than 36,000 likelihood of an attendance, I think they deserve it.
The Bulldogs had that issue a couple of years ago when they played the Adelaide Crows. Their home ground is Etihad Stadium, and the AFL and their wisdom decided to play at the MCG, which Luke Beveridge, the coach, has said that's where the grand finals play. We wanted to play there, but clearly Etihad at that stage was a massive home ground advantage for them. I don't think too many people feel so. This is one of the great home ground advantages in football, this community. To train here, to have this facility, to be able to play it, they get an unbelievable advantage. It's fantastic. Credit to them. But if they miss out in the final, how I think, that's just the luck of the draw.
If you're good enough, you'll win anywhere. GWS last year, they were spotless all year, went to ANZ Stadium, knocked off Sydney in that first final.
And then, fell short in their own venue against the Bulldogs. Speaking of the Bulldogs, your coach, Das, the man that you discovered out of absolutely nowhere and has made him the superstar that he is, Luke Beveridge, spent some time this week with the Queensland State of Origin team. I think he went up the night before the game and spent the day itself and the game itself with the Maroons coach, Kevy Walters. What, by way of background, can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I think there was a mutual friend that the two coaches had, and the offer was there, I think, for him to go and spend a bit of time in one of the great sporting events in Australia. And I think coaches love that extra experience and to build up. I know he's a fan of league, and I think it might have been 3 days. I think he was in camp. I think he got to go and have the whole experience in the coaches. But unfortunately for Queensland, that is the worst loss they've ever had on home soil. So it didn't quite turn out the way they would have hoped, but not unusual for a coach to go and do that, Dummer.
I haven't heard that story, how you got the coach single-handedly to the Bulldogs and won the premiership. Can you tell that?
Well, Brownie, I know you're being a smart ass, so let's not go there, but it was all about me, and that club would be no without me. Now, you know what? This is ridiculous. This is the way people like Damo roll, and I've never said anything about it. I've never, ever taken any credit.
But you never stopped us saying before, I was including them when I just said it.
I was part of a panel, probably the most influential part of that panel, but that's the way it worked out, and then it's all going
beautifully. A bit like Judd Corp on the Carlton board to get Brendan Bolton across, which is starting to look a very inspired decision right now, Jim.
I think so.
A couple of years in.
What was it, Das, about Luke Beveridge that got your tick of approval?
Well, Howie, I had the great pleasure of playing with Bevo my first 3 years, so it would have been, wouldn't have crossed over with Brownie, and he's just an impressive, unique person in the game. He had as big an impact on me as anyone, and we sort of stayed in touch, from then on, as he has done with a lot of people that he played football with. And his CV was quite an extraordinary CV, and I was surprised that a lot of other people hadn't quite worked out what he'd done at St Beeds, what he'd done work-wise. He'd managed a lot of people, managed staff of over 120 people. So he's a pretty broad, pretty unique guy, but I've always thought he was going to be great. I mean, St Kilda had him lined up. We had to convince him not to go to St Kilda as their head
footy
of...
Footy ops, wasn't it?
Yeah,
footy ops manager, or
footy ops, but as a football... Director role, I think. Yeah, so in the end, it was pretty fortunate that he made the call.
What type of fella is he? Because for a premiership coach, we don't know a great deal about him. You don't see many, this is what Luke Beveridge is all about. You hear about the amateur premierships, etc., but what type of man is he?
Look, he's a very emotional guy. The emotions run close to the surface, but he's also someone who's very, very clear on what it needs to be successful. He's also very clear if you step outside of his bounds. Darrow might have found that. Darrow might have come across him before and been on the receiving end. So it can be quite brutal, but there's this huge heart. I remember two or three times in the first couple of years I played with him, and Bevo was in and out of the team. He wasn't someone that was guaranteed a spot. He played a lot of footy at that time, but I remember him grabbing me two or three times as an 18 or 19-year-old at times when I thought no one else had any idea what I was doing. And once he gave me a bit of a cook. We're out one night, and he grabbed hold of me and said, "Mate, pull your head in. I reckon you're carrying on like a complete jerk." And it was late at night. I remember thinking, "Geez, that's an interesting call. Not many players take the time out to do that." And he was right at the time. I was carrying on.
You would have taken that well, wouldn't you?
Oh, from him, you did, because he can handle himself, Bevo.
Yep.
And I remember sitting back, and we had a follow-up chat the next day. So there's a couple of times you think, "Oh, this is someone who had a bigger awareness of people, connected with people in a very unique way." And he's a pretty special bloke in footy.
What did you do to upset him, Damo? We might as well get it out of the
table.
No, we've
been down this path many times.
No, I've never heard this story.
I've talked about it regularly.
Oh, I haven't heard it.
I don't think we
need
to talk about it again.
What did you do to upset him, Damo?
Well, again, you have heard it yourself, Howie. It goes back to that 2015 series Das just referred to where they had played that final against Adelaide. Talia Brothers on each club, one playing for Adelaide, one not playing for the Bulldogs. But there was an accusation made by the Bulldogs that the Bulldogs Talia had given team information to the Adelaide Talia. And... they report him to the AFL as they had the right to do, but all I did was quote the manager of the two Talias on camera, so it was all on record, and he was quite critical, Liam Pickering, of Luke Beveridge over the handling of the matter, and that's the presentation of the story. And then
as Das alluded to, there was an aftermath at the Brownlow 4 or 5 days later.
Against the wall.
How are you going at that point, Muscles?
Well, that's a slight extension of what happened, but there was a... certainly a brushing or a barreling at one stage of the proceedings. And I think I owe my life on that occasion to Leon Cameron separating us.
Did Leon save you, didn't he?
Yeah.
Wandering into the box now is a man that I've been looking forward to speaking to all evening. His name is Mark O'Connor of the Geelong Football Club. G'day, Mark. Great to see you.
Likewise, Dad.
How are you? Now, firstly, let's get it right off the top. There was all sorts of numbers floating around about how many games of footy you'd played before you debuted for Geelong. Give us the exact number.
I think it was six.
Six?
Yeah.
So how on earth did you know what you were doing, man?
It's testament to the coaches. I think they were pretty much given a blank canvas in me coming over. So I think a lot of credit has to go to them.
So explain to us exactly where you're from.
Yeah, I'm from Kerry in Ireland. It's in the southwest. It's actually the same place as Tyke and Ely. And Padraig Lucy, they came out here a couple of years ago as well. So yeah, a lot of fellas have come out here from Kerry.
And they tell me that you were going to be one of the greats, one of the Gaelic football greats in the history of your country and your nation, and you chose to come out here. But you, in all seriousness, you were a very, very handy Gaelic footballer.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but...
that's what they tell me.
Yeah, we were going all right underage, but I just decided to come out here. I thought it was too good an opportunity to pass up, so... I'm really enjoying my time out here.
Hard question to answer, just how good he was as a junior.
He was sensational.
Absolutely, we can speak for that. I have spoken to Ty Kennelly, just will absolutely reassure that. He had a great influence on you, I believe, Mark, and your decision to come out here. Was Sydney a potential home for you, given Ty's connection there?
I actually wasn't talking to Sydney at all. I was never in talks with them. But, Ty was a big inspiration on me. I think what he did in both sports was something very inspirational, and... he had a big role to play in me coming out here.
And Zach Toohey's doing some really good things at your club, Mark. Has he taken you under his wing a bit and helped you out?
Yeah, he has. He's been a great link kind of between here and home. He kind of makes it feel like it isn't so far away, I suppose. We like to catch up every now and then, and I can just hop questions off him, and he's very good to me. So, yeah, I'm very thankful that Zach is here too.
What's the main thing you miss about Ireland that you can't get in Australia?
I suppose the family. Anywhere the family is kind of feels like home, so the family and friends really, but everything else has been kind of pretty good out here, so yeah.
And Mark, I know any of the Irish kids I played with said that they didn't really feel like they were part of the team until they'd had a Gatorade shower. Do you sort of feel a bit upset that you missed out on that unique opportunity?
No, I'm pretty happy I missed it, to be honest. I'm pretty happy I didn't get soaked, but it was a great experience, top in the middle of the circle, and just delighted to get my first win under the belt. So
that's good. Mark, have you done a crash course in your knowledge of AFL? And for instance, do you know who that man who just asked the question was? And
I think it's Chris Judd, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Of course, you're big in Ireland, purple.
Yeah.
How have you been with even just walking to your own club? We just spoke to the partner of Joel Selwood. I mean, you obviously have an awareness of how big he is and other people around the competition.
Yeah, I pretty much didn't know anyone when I came over, so... I barely even knew Joe Selwood, so I'm trying to get more and more exposure to it every week. I'm trying to watch as many games as I possibly can, and every time I hear a new name, I try to figure out who it is and do a bit of research.
And is there someone who you feel you're gravitating toward by way of a style of play?
Not really. I haven't really got enough exposure yet to every player, so I'm just really looking at the likes of fellas in our own club, like Mark Blitzavs and guys in the wing, because that's probably my preferred position. So I'm just really looking at fellas at my own club.
And do you pinch yourself, given that you, as you said before, have only managed to play six games of preparatory football for the big time? There's guys out there listening to this who've spent 10 years still chasing that dream. Do you pinch yourself when you line your story up with this?
Yeah, I do. I really wanted to play a game this year, but I knew that was being pretty ambitious. But for it to come so early, I've been blessed. And again, just testament to the coaches and all the hard work that they've put in with me. So yep. I'd have to thank them.
Hey, Mark, we love your country. We love the Gaelic game. If you've had the pleasure to be over there and see it and play in the series, there's a bit of angst back at home that one of their great stars in you is now out here playing this game. Did you feel a bit of pressure on the Irish side not to come, or were you comfortable all the way?
There's a few comments thrown here and there, but I never felt pressurised. I knew that I had a decision to make myself, and I wasn't going to let anyone else kind of come into that decision. So I only really discussed it with my family and very close friends. So the talk back home didn't really have an effect on anything.
Have you got a dream to go back and maybe play in the series, play for Ireland against Australia? Is that on the list?
Yeah, possibly. I've been thinking about it, actually. It would be a great experience, I think. But, yeah, we'll see when the time comes, I think.
Were you here? Were your parents here? I know they spent some time out here early in the year. Were they here for your debut? Because it happened in a big hurry.
No, they just missed the debut, unfortunately. They came out about a month ago for 2 weeks, so... I rang back home at about 5 in the morning and I don't think my father was too bothered for coming back to Australia for another 30-hour trek.
And so. How was that first game? What are your memories of it?
I just kind of felt, I suppose, very uncomfortable, and I was really just trying to find my ground because there's only so much that you can do in pre-season to simulate a game. But, when I got out there, I just really tried to find my feet and, thankfully I've gotten a bit more comfortable since then. But, the coaches, I'm just going to have to give the credit to them, because going back in all the vision and things like that, they can kind of pinpoint where I should have been running in different patterns. Yep. And things like that. So it was just up to me to kind of learn it after that.
As far as Australia as a country, I don't know how much you knew about it, but Damo, this is a man, he could have ended up on the beaches of the Gold Coast, he could have been in the harbour city, he could have been down there in a city in Melbourne. You've ended up in the town of Geelong. How's that going for you?
Yeah, I love it down here.
Do you?
Oh, I really do, yeah.
What do you love about
it's a bit
Mark?
Like County Kerry, Mark, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's just nice and chilled, and there's a lot of cafes and stuff, and I love my coffee, so it's just nice and quiet, and you kind of avoid the hustle and bustle of the big city.
You're flying solo, Mark, or is there a young Geelong lass caught your eye at this stage?
No, there's not. I'm keeping quiet at the minute, so... Yeah, that was the one word of advice that my mother gave me, trying not to find an Australian girl in case I stick over here. So,
Mark, you won't recall, but early on in your time here, I was having lunch in Geelong with my beautiful partner, and you were in the same cafe, and I got to meet you very briefly, but you were with the great Maxi Kleiman, who's a player manager, media personality, etc. And to me, you seem to be a young man that just arrived in the country, and he was putting these documents under you, and he was trying to get you to sign on the dotted line. And I said to the beautiful Erica, I'm not sure this young Irish bloke, I don't know if he knows what's going on here. Did you trust signing on the contract with Maxi?
I did. I suppose I had to, because I hadn't a clue what was going on here.
Right.
But I just pretty much signed wherever. And
now that he tells you you're getting paid $5,000 a year, are you happy with that current deal?
Yeah, no, I'm doing okay.
And do you get to go home end of season? You get to spend some time back with the family after you win a premiership with the Cats?
Yeah, that's the plan. Hopefully I can go back at the end of the season and just have a few weeks there, spend a bit of time relaxing at home with the family and friends. So just to recharge, I suppose that's the plan at the minute, but... things can change too.
And just as we let you go, has there been anything that has surprised you about Australia, or anything you weren't expecting that's come your way, Mark?
I don't think so. Didn't expect the coffee to be so good, I suppose. Yeah, because it's not really great at home. But
what sort of coffee do you go for when you go to a cafe?
I'm on the soy lattes these days. I enjoy them.
Real hipster from Ireland, isn't it?
Yeah. Another beard soon.
Hey, Mark, we really appreciate your time, mate. Yours is a great story. We hope to see you playing again for the Cats very, very soon.
Thanks, guys. Shut up. The footy's on
Triple M. Triple M rocks footy.